Massacre's Prologue. Some of us grew up with stories about massacres. Stories about what happened to our people not so long ago. How we came out of it. At Sand Creek, we heard it said that they mowed us down with their howitzers. Volunteer militia under Colonel John Chivington came to kill us. We were mostly women, children, and elders. The men were away to hunt. They told us to fly the American flag. We flew that and a white flag too. Surrender, the white flag waved. We stood under both flags as they came at us. They did more than kill us. They tore us up, mutilated us, broke our fingers to take our rings, cut off our ears to take our silver, scalped us for our hair. We hid in the hollows of tree trunks, buried ourselves in sand by the riverbank. That same sand ran red with blood. They tore unborn babies out of bellies. Took what we intended to be. Our children before they were children. Babies before they were babies. They ripped them out of our bellies. They broke soft baby heads against trees. Then they took our body parts as trophies and displayed them on a stage in downtown Denver. Colonel Chivington danced with dismembered parts of us in his hands. With women's pubic hair. Drunk, he danced. And the crowd gathered there before him was all the worse for cheering and laughing along with him. It was a celebration. Hard, fast. Getting us to cities was supposed to be the final, necessary step in our assimilation. Absorption, erasure. The completion of a 500-year-old genocidal campaign. But the city made us new. And we made it ours. We didn't get lost amid the sprawl of tall buildings, the stream of anonymous masses, the ceaseless din of traffic. We found one another, started up Indian centers, brought out our families and powwows, our dances, our songs, our beadwork. We bought and rented homes, slept on the streets, under freeways. We went to school, joined the armed forces, populated Indian bars in the Fruitvale in Oakland and in the Mission in San Francisco. We lived in boxcar villages in Richmond. We made art and we made babies and we made way for our people to go back and forth between reservation and city. We did not move to cities to die. The sidewalks and streets, the concrete, absorbed our heaviness. The glass, metal, rubber, and wires. The speed, the hurtling masses, the city took us in. We were not urban Indians then. This was part of the Indian Relocation Act, which was part of the Indian Termination Policy, which was and is exactly what it sounds like. Make them look and act like us, become us, and so disappear. But it wasn't just like that. Plenty of us came by choice. To start over, to make money, or for a new experience. Some of us came to cities to escape the reservation. We stayed after fighting in the Second World War, after Vietnam, too. We stayed because the city sounds like a war, and you can't leave a war once you've been. You can only keep it at bay. Which is easier when you can see and hear it near you, that fast metal, that constant firing around you. Cars up and down the streets and freeways like bullets. The quiet of the reservation, the sight of the highway towns, rural communities, that kind of silence just makes the sound of your brain on fire that much more pronounced. Plenty of us are urban now. If not because we live in cities, then because we live on the internet. Inside the high rise of multiple browser windows. They used to call us sidewalk Indians. Call the citified, superficial, inauthentic, cultureless refugees, apples. An apple is red on the outside and white on the inside. But what we are is what our ancestors did, how they survived. We are the memories we don't remember, which live in us, which we feel, which make us sing and dance and pray the way we do. Feelings from memories that flare and bloom unexpectedly in our lives, like blood through a blanket, from a wound made by a bullet, fired by a man shooting us in the back for our hair, for our heads, for a bounty, or just to get rid of us. When they first came for us with their bullets, we didn't stop moving, even though the bullets moved twice as fast as the sound of our screams. And even when their heat and speed broke our skin, shattered our bones, skulls, pierced our hearts, we kept on. Even when we saw the bullets send our bodies flailing through the air like flags, like the many flags and buildings that went up in place of everything we knew this land to be before. The bullets were premonitions, ghosts from dreams of a hard, fast future. The bullets moved on after moving through us, became the promise of what was to come, the speed and the killing, the hard, fast lines of borders and buildings. They took everything and ground it down to dust as fine as gunpowder. They fired their guns into the air in victory, and the strays flew out into the nothingness of histories, written wrong and meant to be forgotten. Stray bullets and consequences are landing on our unsuspecting bodies even now. Urbanity. Urban Indians were the generation born in the city. We've been moving for a long time, but the land moves with you like memory. An urban Indian belongs to the city, and cities belong to the earth. Everything here is formed in relation to every other living and non-living thing from the earth. All our relations. The process that brings anything to its current form, chemical, synthetic, technological, or otherwise, doesn't make the product not a product of the living earth. Buildings, freeways, cars, are these not of the earth? Were they shipped in from Mars, the moon? Is it because they're processed, manufactured, or that we handle them? Are we so different? Were we at one time not something else entirely? Homo sapiens, single-celled organisms, space dust, unidentifiable pre-bang quantum theory. Cities form in the same way as galaxies. Urban Indians feel at home walking in the shadow of a downtown building. We came to know the downtown Oakland skyline better than we did any sacred mountain range. The redwoods in the Oakland hills better than any other deep wild forest. We know the sound of the freeway better than we do rivers. The howl of distant trains better than wolf howls. We know the smell of gas and freshly wet concrete and burned rubber better than we do the smell of cedar or sage or even fry bread, which isn't traditional. Like reservations aren't traditional. But nothing is original. Everything comes from something that came before, which was once nothing. Everything is new and doomed. We ride buses, trains, and cars across, over, and under concrete plains. Being Indian has never been about returning to the land. The land is everywhere or nowhere.